And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's time for the Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Playing a little Alicia Keys. Your request, because...
Well, it's because Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, Alicia Keys' song is called Superwoman.
And aren't all mothers superwomen?
Absolutely. It's for all the moms out there, it's your special day.
Yes.
Be special. Be sure to have everybody wait on you.
That's right. Not the other way around.
And do what you want to do, even if it's to be left alone.
True. And sometimes moms need to have
read
a
book and whatever. Just enjoy yourself on Sunday.
Best gift certificate, spa day. For mom.
Oh, that is a great one.
So any age that the kids are, doesn't matter, from toddler to high school, doesn't matter.
That is a great idea.
An escape day at the spa.
You know, a lot of people give roses. You know,
an
arrangement of roses, which is nice.
Yes, of course.
You know, we've talked about the rose etiquette. You know, do you give a dozen or do you give one? But that's for another day. We'll debate that.
We'll save that for Valentine's. Save that.
Yes, but, you know, if you're going to give roses, a good option is to give a container of knockout roses.
Oh.
Mine are blooming their hearts out right now and will bloom all year long. They're just great. So this way, mom can enjoy roses all year.
Right.
And not just enjoy them for a couple of weeks with the arrangement that you give them. So think about giving the knockout roses. And another option, of course, is some of these tropical plants like hibiscus and mandevilla are just blooming so much right now. Might be another option you might want to use to give to mom. But I also need to honor and remember our moms who have passed away.
Yes.
There's no question about it. And just honor them by remembering all the remembrances that you have. Some are so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Some are serious. But a little thought about mom, if she's no longer with us.
Right.
No doubt about it. So it is a special day.
It is.
Exactly.
It is.
And hope you enjoy it. And all the moms out there listening to us today, you enjoy yourself on Sunday.
And you know there's all kinds of moms. Stepmoms, adoptive moms,
no
foster
question.
Moms, absolutely. Doggy moms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All of the above.
All of the above.
No doubt about it. So remember all of that and enjoy, no doubt. We do need to look ahead. We always kind of lead off with the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, last time we talked, we were in what I termed a drought. And, you know, we really had to concentrate on our watering. But it looks like we're going to get maybe a little rain today, small chance. More chance tomorrow, more chance the next day, maybe more the next day, maybe even moving into the weekend where we're going to have a chance of rain. So, I don't want it to rain on Mother's Day because, you know, you have plans. You may want to take mom to the beach. But we are going to have some rain, and that's good. And that's good.
That's good for gardening right now.
Oh, yes. And I'll tell you, after that rain Saturday, my yard, I mean, it just perked up almost overnight. I was out of town for that.
They were thirsty.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I was out of town. I went to Gainesville
for
the graduation of one of my granddaughters.
Oh, how
it
wonderful.
It was so special, and we are so proud of her. And all over Pensacola, people are celebrating graduations, and I just want to congratulate the graduates, but also the parents of the
right.
graduates that got them this far. I've got a couple of high school graduations of grandsons.
It's just such a proud moment.
Oh, it is.
I mean, you just feel like you've done things right. And so many times we feel like we've done things wrong. But in those moments when you're standing there watching your child pick up that diploma, there's something that just your heart is so full.
Yeah. And also, you know, we've always said here on the Garden Line, you know, we congratulate our children for all they're doing. They're doing so well in spite of us.
Exactly right.
In spite of us. Exactly they made it through.
Oh, my goodness.
So congratulations to all the graduates, and that is great.
If we want to use the analogy, they're blooming as a result of our fertilization.
Meg, you are so good. You are so
they're blooming right in front of us.
Exactly, exactly. So anyway, so all this rain is coming in. You may be able to cut off your sprinkler system or not do any more watering. But what you don't want to forget is under the patio cover, on the front porch, there are a lot of plants in containers that are not going to get all this rain. So don't forget them, because really they dry out super quick. And remember Paul?
Yes.
Last week called and said if you've got container plants in a clay pot, they're going to dry out much quicker than those in a pot that's some kind of acrylic.
Right, right.
Cover on. Anyway. So keep all that in mind, because we, you know, we need to always react to the weather here in Pensacola, as far as our watering is concerned. So watch out for the container plants. I hope, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with me, that this period of rain, I don't know if we're going to get any wind or not, but I wish we could get just a little bit, would finish off the leaves dropping.
Pollen.
And the pollen. It's about to drive people crazy. I got every leaf off my driveway and out of the gutter yesterday. And they're not knee deep. That's an exaggeration, but they're everywhere. So let's hope that maybe we can get past this, because that's important.
Well, if you do get bored, if you can always come to my place.
With your rake.
Yes.
Exactly.
Leaf blower.
Yeah. And don't forget, we're going to talk a little bit about mowing the lawn in a minute. We're going to do a little bit of repeating on that, but about mowing the lawn. But you don't want to go out and mow your lawn, of course, if it's wet. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And you don't want to fertilize the lawn if it's wet. You don't want that granular fertilizer sticking on those blades of grass. That is not good. Now, if you caught a space between rains, if it was raining and the lawn was wet and you put out your fertilizer and you knew it was going to be a good hard rain, you'd probably get by with it because it would wash it off the blades. But you know how it goes in Pensacola, you know, you put it out on that wet lawn and it doesn't rain.
Right.
So that's probably not a good strategy at all. Don't forget, this is the time to fertilize the lawn, and you may have to wait till all this rain goes away, but don't forget, because this is a great time to do it. The lawn is, for the most parts, out of its dormancy, and the fertilizer with the iron, slow release, the minor elements, is just going to make a big difference in the yard. I got some response last week on the crepe murder article that the guy sent us.
Right.
I mean, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So I tried to call him.
Oh, you did? Because we've been trying to get him on the
over
show.
In Calhoun County, just to tell him we used his article. But if you listened last week, his writing is
hilarious.
How can you make a garden article funny?
Oh, he did.
But he did.
And if you want to hear that broadcast, we always post them on our website at newsradio923.com. And it has a section of the Garden Line. He's got his own section for Michael Wiggins. Right. You just pull up the date and you can re-listen to a podcast.
So funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
So funny.
So this time I've got one, an article that a guy sent me from Walton County. Evan Anderson is his name. He tried to get poetic. Really? He says, "The grass is growing. It's time for mowing." These guys are clever. Mm-hmm. In any event, when we come back from the break, Meg, let's talk just a few minutes about some of the hints that he gave that I think we need to follow, but also there's some that I disagree with. So we'll hit that when we get back.
I can't wait.
Let's step aside.
All right. You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. If you've got a gardening question or comment, 850-437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. Welcome to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Good morning. This is Pep Talk. If you've got a question or comment for Mike, 850-437-1620. It's what was that again? The time for mowing? What was that?
The grass is growing. It's time for mowing.
Okay, I like that one. I like that.
That's from our creative extension agents all over North Florida.
Very busy, apparently.
Absolutely.
Very busy.
Very creative. No doubt about it.
We got some questions from listeners already.
Well, let's do that first.
And
that's
it is
idea.
About sort of related about grass.
Well, let's
so we've
see
got what... a couple. So I'm going to give all of them to you, Mike, because it's all about the same kind. The first one says, how important is it to remove live oak leaves from St. Augustine grass? And then the next one says, is it time to apply lime to St. Augustine grass? Also, do I know when to aerate my St. Augustine grass? And what is the ratio of lime for St. Augustine grass? So I hope you know something about St. Augustine grass.
Never heard of it.
Apparently people is never, on their minds.
Never heard of it. Don't have any idea what that's all about. Let's talk about the leaves first.
Okay.
I think it's important to get them off. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. From a practical standpoint, if you do have a large live oak in your yard or your neighbor, you know what I'm talking about. It's been an amazing season with the leaf drop. It really has. You just simply can't go out and rake them every day. You have to really give it a hard raking to get them off the yard. What I'm doing is I'm getting them out of my homeowners association doesn't run me out of the neighborhood. I'm getting them out of the gutter and getting them off the driveway, and I'm still making it look a little neater. But sometimes I'm just blowing some of them into the yard. And then when I mow the yard, I pick up a lot of them that way. But before this over, when they've stopped dropping, and we'll all know when they have, a good hard raking to get them out of the yard is a good idea. One, I think they kind of inhibit the sun getting in there. You know, if you have too many of them, you know, you're going to have lack of sunlight, which you don't want. You want pure sun for your grass. But if you remember, Meg, we talked about last week what some of the experts, we talk experts, say that live oak leaves are cupped leaves. Mm-hmm. Some oak leaves on different varieties are flat leaves, but they're cupped leaves, like the palm of your hand, which hold water when it rains. And if it rains and those leaves are holding all that water and they're kept in the yard and we move into late spring, it can produce mosquitoes.
Oh.
And so you don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe, and this is just me, I think it can affect the pH of the soil. And in St. Augustine, if those oak leaves are stay in that yard, it may drive that pH down just a little bit, which you don't want that for St. Augustine. So for many reasons, I would rake them when they're finished dropping. Bag them up, put them on by the street, let the trash guys take them away. No doubt about it. So that's exactly what I would do. Now, you talk about liming the grass, and maybe they are related. A couple of ways to look at that. St. Augustine grass really likes a higher pH, and that gets all scientific. We don't need to go there, but a number to shoot for pH, if you have a soil test, is the number 6. If your pH is below 6, then your grass is slightly acid, and that's common because we have acid turf here in Pensacola. That's why azaleas, camellias, gardenias do so well. If it's below 6, you need to put lime on your yard. Now, how do you do it? The ratio? Different opinions on this. I always say about 30 to 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet when you do it. Put it down, water it in. Be sure it's granular dolomite lime. That's a key word, granular dolomite lime. Put it out like fertilizer with your fertilizer spreader, and water it in, and you're done. Now, you don't want to have to get a soil test every year, or you may not want to get a soil test at all. But if you haven't put lime on your yard, I'm going to say in 2 to 3 years, I'd do it. Mm-hmm. I would just go ahead and do it. If your soil sample comes back saying your pH is 6+, then you don't have to. But I bet it won't. I bet it's going to come into the 5s somewhere. So put the lime out. And then, I'm not sure I'd worry with a soil test again in a couple of years, but I'd give it 2 to 3 years and then just do it again.
So is that, because part of the question was determining the ratio.
Ratio.
Is that how you determine the ratio with the soil test?
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly what you do. But I have seen countless number of soil test results. And for the most part, it's always 30 to 40 pounds of lime per 1,000 square feet. And yes, your pH is a little bit below 6. And so you need to put it on there. And what the lime does, and this isn't very scientific, but it kind of unlocks the system in the St. Augustine grass, which allows it to use the nutrients, the fertilizer that you put out, to use it to make the grass grow. And if not, it's not, you're using some of it, but you're not getting 100% value of the fertilizer you put out if your pH is a little bit lower. So,
is this a good time
right
to do it?
Oh, yeah, it makes a difference. But here's a real, real important deal. Some people, including myself, would like to do it this way. Okay, I'm going to put the fertilizer out on my yard. And no, okay, I'm going to put that bag away. Now I'm going to get my bag of lime and put it out, put them both on together, water them in, and I'm done. No, you don't want to do that. No, because people, the experts tell me that the lime will kind of tie up the fertilizer periodically or in the short term. So the rule of thumb is always put at least 2 weeks between fertilization and lime. And it could go the other way. You could put the lime on and wait 2 weeks and then fertilize. But you need that space and time to get full use out of these materials you're putting on the lawn.
Okay, these are great questions. We're going to take a quick break. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. If you've got a question or comment, please send it in, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the break. News Radio 92.3, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. So, Mike, we had a bunch of questions come aerating the lawn. So we didn't quite get to it with this the woman or man who had texted him about St. Augustine grass.
Right.
But then the next question was, what can I do to fix the bare spots in my yard? It looks like the ground is much harder in those spots, and now moss is trying to grow there. Is that an aeration process?
That's possible if you've got really compacted soil. As a rule, I'm not a big aeration fan.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some what they call core aeration, which kind of plugs a bunch of holes if you do have it really, really compact area. Now, the person that's got the compact area with the moss growing and wants to put in sod, two ways to do that. One, you could aerate that area.
Mm-hmm.
Get an aerator or have somebody come in and do it for you. But when you're just going to plug in different areas, let's say a circle about 10 feet in diameter. That's an area you want to put sod in. And all around it is good sod.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One, you could aerate it and then put your sod in there. But preparation is 100% of the, if you're going to have successful lawn. I would prefer literally in an area that size to either get a tiller or just get your shovel and turn that dirt in there. It's going to be a little bit, it's compacted, so it's going to be kind of hard, but turn it, because when you put new sod down, you want that area to be level, moist, loose. Do that. Mm-hmm. And if it's St. Augustine, a little bit of lime in there also is always a good idea. So that's what I would do. Aeration is a hard one to figure. I think sometimes just a good raking, with a leaf rake might suffice. And with that moss growing, that sounds like it is compacted soil. But if you can turn that soil and put sod in there. Now, one other way to do it, it's not my favorite, is to plug it. In other words, you can buy a plugger that will, in that compacted soil, pull a plug out and put a plug of St. Augustine or Centipede, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing. But I have found that overall preparation is much better, more successful. Those plugs, one, take a lot of water. Sometimes they're slow growing. I'm not that big on that. I would prefer you to sod it, but once again, preparation is everything.
Well, you answered my question, I think, because I was going to ask you, is there a best practice for aerating?
I think the core aerating, some people use what they used to call it, where you had a machine that had these knives that went through and kind of cut through any of that compacted soil. I think sometimes you can damage your lawn if you try to do that. Or do this. There are some people in that business around town that do aeration. I would talk to people. You know who I'd talk to first? Is Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping.
There you go.
And say, Paul, do you do aeration? Or Paul, who do you recommend? And what are your thoughts on it? And I think it's going to be kind of an individual decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I've got a St. Augustine lawn. I've had it, golly, since I've been in the house, 20 years or so. I've never aerated the yard.
Interesting.
And just something I've never thought was necessary.
Okay, well, we are completing this first half hour of The Garden Line. We've got more questions coming in for the next half hour. Mike, I hope you're ready. Wiggins is our host of The Garden Line every Tuesday at this time. This is Pep Talk and Scholes Expert Panel with Meg. Got a question for Mike? Send it in, 850-7, 850, wait a minute, just forgot, 437, I almost gave you my number, 437-1620. We'll be back after.
Call Meg at home anytime you need her, right?
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins as our host. Talking about Mother's Day earlier.
And Superwoman.
And Superwoman.
By Alicia Keys. Oh, that's good music.
Mm-hmm. And per request of our host, because it is Mother's Day this Sunday, and he wanted to honor all the moms out there.
Every one of them. honor our moms and remember our moms if they're no longer with us.
Yes.
All the good things that they did for us.
All right.
Now,
back to business.
We have a lot
of questions coming in. We've been talking about lawns and grass this morning. And, Mike, we had a couple questions come in during the break. Well, this isn't really a question. This just made me laugh because this is something I would write. Crabgrass, period. Help. The help's not even capitalized.
Well, that's probably the most important question we've had just today. I mean, that's
help.
Crabgrass is so hard to control. A couple of things to do. One, be sure to use your pre-emergence in February and your pre-emergence in November with a product like atrazine that will help inhibit crabgrass. But once crabgrass gets a hold, there's really what I have found, especially in a lawn, there's not much one can use that is not going to damage your good grass.
If you didn't do it in February and now it's May, can you do it now?
I think it's getting a little late.
Okay.
You get into the high 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little late for that. So I think that you could do it, but you're kind of taking a chance. And if you wanted to try just in the areas where the crabgrass is, that might work. But once, keep in mind, most of that chemical is a pre-emergent. It's going to keep the crabgrass from coming up. If you've got it and it's all matted up, there is one solution. One is to use Roundup. Now, we've talked about Roundup, and we probably don't need to get in that again. The old-fashioned Roundup had some problems, had some legal problems. The new version, I think, is probably, and I'm not going to say it's safer because I don't know that, but it has taken over from the old Roundup. Now, you spray the Roundup on the crabgrass, you're going to kill it down to the roots. But if there's good grass in there, you're going to kill it also. What I know some people will do, if that crabgrass will just move all the good grass out. It'll just overtake it. Get your shovel and cut you an edge around the area where the crabgrass is. So there's no St. Augustine stolons coming into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's an isolated area now. Then you can use your Roundup in there, and it won't translocate to those other areas of your lawn. But you've got to be sure you've got that edge cut so there's no St. Augustine creeping into the crabgrass area. And then use your Roundup. And then do what we've been talking about this morning. You'll get that dead crabgrass out of there. Turn it. What some people do is they'll just let it sit for a while. And if new crabgrass comes up, then spray it a second time.
Oh, that's smart.
And then you've hopefully got it all. Now, you may have never going to get all of it. But then get your fresh, clean sod and put it in that area that you've cordoned off at the same level of your other grass, and you're on your way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. That crabgrass is hard. It will want to come back. But if it tries to come back, then hopefully, you would have used the pre-emergence, which will keep it from coming back, because your post-emergence, the stuff we use for dollarweed and Virginia buttonweed and Florida pusley, is really not going to do much for crabgrass, because crabgrass, I mean, this is an obvious statement, is a grass. It's a grassy weed.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these post-emergence weed killers we use are for broadleaf weeds, like the dollar weed. So anyway, that's a lot of work to get rid of the crabgrass, but that's just some thoughts.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty good. So thank you for the question
or
the comment.
Question.
It was a great
question.
One.
Well, I tell you, it was a great question. Help.
That's always the best.
Hey, help, yes.
I don't know I'd need help.
It's a tough one, I'll tell you.
That's a good one. If you have a question for Mike on the Garden Line, now is the time, 850-437-1620. This next question, Mike, is a little bit different topic. Our listener says, I have radishes doing really well, and am I supposed to now trim back the leaves or the greens?
I would say no on that. I never really thought about it that way, but I don't think you need to do that. The radishes are going to produce very quickly. And so, you know, once that top gets pretty high, you might want to check on it. Maybe you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I've never grown radishes. Are they hard to grow?
No. That's what I was just going to say.
Maybe I should.
Exactly. I don't know what you would do with them. But you eat them, of course.
Of course.
But I've always said that growing radishes was a great grandchild activity for grandparents, you know, to show them, you know,
mm-hmm.
how to sow the seed,
mm-hmm.
watch that top grow up, pull them out of the ground, there's your radish, wash it off and eat it. It kind of shows the next generation where our food comes from.
Right, so, right, that's
great. And using radishes is a good way to do it.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. Well, I had an interest, speaking of seeds, someone handed me a pack of seeds last week and it just said wildflowers.
Okay.
And I thought, okay.
Okay.
Now, what do I do with this? Do you just throw it out there, or do you find a spot for them? Or so I'm just curious. I said, "Oh, I know an expert on these topics."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's and wildflowers are fun.
Do you want to do that?
You need to find kind of what I would call a natural area in which to put your wildflowers. You obviously don't want to put them in your flower bed,
right?
Because those seeds you were given can contain a whole different variety of seeds.
I have no idea. It doesn't say what they are. No,
but it's a different variety of seeds. It's a mixture.
Right.
It's usually a wildflower mixture. But if you've got a natural area
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of rake it good and then sow that wildflower, yeah, it'll be pretty.
Will they take over your yard, though?
Well, it depends on what they are and how close you get.
They're wildflower weeds.
Yeah. Well, sure. You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. They're really mm-hmm. pretty, but you don't want them interfering with your flower beds and your lawn. But
so what distinguishes them from
in a natural
being,
area?
What just distinguishes them to be wildflowers versus the other kind
well,
of flowers?
Well, one, they're temporary.
Okay.
You know, they are not going to be pretty year-round.
Mm-hmm.
They'll bloom, you know, and maybe in the spring, and then the heat will get some of them, and some of them they won't. There used to be a great company, maybe they're still around, that sold wildflower seeds, and they would have a southeastern wildflower seed mixture.
Oh, fun.
And it listed what they all were.
Uh-huh.
And if you had a nice natural area where you could sow those seeds, it'd be very pretty. You know, the DOT used to do some of that, those wildflowers in the median strips.
Oh, that always looks pretty.
Yeah,
you're right.
It does look pretty.
You're
but
right.
It doesn't look pretty year-round. That's one of the problems.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my question. If you've got a question, text it in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back. We've got a picture for you to look at here.
Oh, okay.
Someone sent in. And Mike will be back with the Garden Line in just a couple minutes on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and our expert on the Garden Line, of course, is Mr. Mike Wiggins, former mayor of Pensacola. And how many years have you been in the landscaping world?
I'm not sure I can count that high. I'd say maybe 35, 40 years.
40-something years.
Yeah,
so
it's been a while.
Definitely an expert. We've had great questions this morning. So during the break, we had a question that came in that said, can you tell me what type of grass this is, and can you get rid of it in my centipede lawn? And he sent this picture. It's from Steve in Escambia Bay. So
yeah.
You looked it up.
Well,
we sent it to our expert research.
We sent it to our research lab over here, and that's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
They said it looks like, because the picture's hard to say, bahia. That
mm-hmm.
some bahia grass has come into his centipede lawn.
It's very long. It looks like it has long.
Yeah, and it's going to send up spikes.
Spikes, that's a
good,
yeah.
It'll send up spikes this summer. Okay, bahia grass is interesting because there's really two types that are in Pensacola. One is Pensacola bahia,
mm-hmm.
and one is Argentine bahia.
Oh.
Pensacola sends up the tall spikes more than the Argentine. So anyway, but to get rid of it, there really is nothing that I don't think is going to kill it post-emergence. Like we talked about a minute ago, to spray there, that's going to kill the bahia but not affect the centipede because it's a grass. It's like crabgrass. It's a grassy weed. One, you can dig it up manually and get rid of it that way, or go back to what we talked about a minute ago. A Roundup product would work, but you've got to be sure you don't get it on any of the grass around it and maybe cut a little edge around where it is. And then you can put in plugs of sod or whatever you want to do. But it is hard to control because it does send up those seed heads, and bahia grass is a nuisance that bothers a lot of people. But that's probably what it is. And even if maybe it's not technically bahia, although I think it is, it's the same principle. It's a grassy weed in your broadleaf grass centipede, hard to control.
Great question. And you can always send a picture like that because we can take a look at it for you.
Picture.
So,
850. We've got a great research staff.
Yeah, 850-437-1620. That's the number if you want to send in a text and ask a question of our expert on the Garden Line, Mike Wiggins.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. So, what do you want to talk about next, sir?
Oh, you know what we haven't had a chance to talk about yet is the article from the guy over in, what did I say, Walton County, about the grass is growing, it's time for mowing.
Yes,
now, last week, we talked a little bit about mowing lawns, but I always think it's fun to see what the experts are saying. Plus, mowing the lawn is what everybody listening to this show is doing, starting right about now.
Right.
Everybody's mowing the lawn. So here's what he is saying. One, know your turf grass. And this is where I don't really agree with him totally. He says, if you've got bahia grass, which that,
that was the picture, yeah.
Because there are people who will sow bahia grass seed for lawns.
It looks very hardy.
Oh, it's very hardy, very drought resistant. And some commercial landscaping uses bahia.
Huh.
They would use the Argentine. They wouldn't use the Pensacola. They'd use the Argentine. And it says, in general, you should cut it 3 to 4 inches. I buy that. That's fair enough. Bermuda grass, this is know your turf grass. Bermuda grass, maybe 1.5 to 1.5 inches. I go more towards the 1 inch on Bermuda. Very few of us have a Bermuda lawn. That's more of a golf course situation, but you do cut it short. Okay, centipede, 1.5 to 2 inches. I disagree. I think centipede grass should be cut at 3 inches. I think mowing high really helps the health of the grass. I think if you continue to mow it high, every time you mow it, never scalp it, you're going to have some, keep the weeds away to a certain extent. Okay, zoysia grass, 2 to 2.5 inches. I buy that. That's okay. St. Augustine, he says 2.5 to 4. I go with the 4. Go with the 4. Mow St. Augustine high. Now, keep in mind, you mow it on Saturday morning when everybody gets out and mows their lawn. By Wednesday, it's going to look a little ragged. But I think health-wise for the grass, that's the best thing to do. No doubt about it. Okay, the second thing he says is mow regularly to remove more than a third of the blade of the grass. That means the grass is not going to be overly stressed from your mowing and will recover very, very quickly. Number 3, sharpen your lawnmower blade. We talked about that last week. If you have a dull blade and it rags off the top, one, you can see it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It interferes with the good look of the grass, if you will, but it also can, on St. Augustine, can bring on the fungus. Remember we talked about the the Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus. Exactly. So, okay. Okay, avoid mowing the grass if it's wet. That's going to happen this weekend probably. It says dew in the early morning and water from irrigation can cause the grass to clump up and stick. You certainly don't want that. So always mow the lawn when it's dry. And this is important, this next one. He says if you have an uneven lawn, take care to avoid scalping the grass when pushing the mower over inclined areas. That's true. It's kind of hard to do, though. But what I like to expand on that, if you're putting in new sod, remember we talked about you've got the area, you're going to kill the crabgrass, and you're going to put new sod in there. Be so sure that you put the bed of where you're going to put the grass, the dirt, if you will, at a little bit lower level. So when you put your grass in there, it's at exactly the even level with your existing lawn. Because if it's too high, if that new sod is just a half inch higher than your regular lawn, and you start mowing it, you'll dig it up. It'll damage it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So be sure you put it evenly. That's important. This is interesting, which I don't do, but I find it interesting. He says for a truly professional-looking lawn, mow in different directions each time you mow. He says it helps to avoid wear patterns. That's interesting. That's interesting. I think I may try that. And this is another one that I don't agree with him. I'm not sure the experts would agree with me. He says leave your clippings on the lawn.
Really?
Yeah. He says they break down over time and they add nutrients. Now, a lot of that goes back to when a lot of the experts wanted to keep some of these grass clippings out of the landfills, which is a laudable goal. There's no doubt about that. But I have always been concerned that if you don't collect your clippings, that you're going to recycle the weeds.
Okay.
This way you get some of that up and get that out. And you can, you know, put it in a bag, you know, a paper bag, and put it by the street and get rid of it that way. Because they say if you've been on vacation, you're mowing it, and you just are going to mow off a third, you may end up with these clumps all over the yard. Then you got to go back and kind of rake those out, so you don't want to just let them sit there. So I like to collect my clippings. And, of course, lastly, sweep all your clippings from the driveway.
Right.
When you're mowing it, some of it moves over into your driveway, and mow and just kind of blow that back into the yard.
Good stuff. This is great stuff.
What did Evans call it? If your grass is growing, time for mowing.
All right. Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. News Radio 92.3, this is Pep Talk in the Garden Line. Got a question here. I have removed the top layer of weeds, and it is now dirt is now showing, but there's still some stubborn prickly weeds still sticking up. Can I just put lay zoysia sod over the top of everything?
I would prefer not. But that's easy for me to say and hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if the weeds were so extensive, you know, and you have just a few, you know, sticking their head up out of the soil, I would prefer to not have that. This is a little radical. Paul probably wouldn't agree with me. If you've got a few of those, why don't you hit it with your weed eater? Knock them down to bare dirt, whatever's left, and then go ahead and sod. Now, those weeds can cause you some problems later on, but, you know, you can only get so much sometimes. So that might be a way to address it. I would prefer to say, you know, sit here, you know, say, yeah, get every one of them out of there.
Right.
But that's, like I say, easier said than done.
And Paul, speaking of Paul, sent in a text saying, yes, he said, leave the clippings. It adds great nutrients.
Oh, Paul, we have to talk.
So he agrees with you on that one. Now, this is kind of a long comment, so I'm going to try to say it quickly, but not all of us are outside cutting our lawn. Some of us are smart enough to invest in robotic lawnmowers. It's super easy. I don't know why people torture themselves outside cutting the grass. Super affordable, efficient technology investment, people. So hashtag Gulf of Joe Patty.
Let me tell you what. That's a great, great comment, a great question. I don't know. I've never used or even seen a robotic lawnmower.
I haven't either.
Now, I've kind of read about it, seen pictures of these things.
Is it the Zumba or Roomba or something in the house, the vacuum cleaner?
The same principle, exactly.
Right. The cat's right on.
I would wonder, and I wish we had time to...
We'll have to look it up for next week.
Yeah, next week, we need to talk about that. Maybe whoever texted us that will listen next week.
And text us the brand. Yeah, that way we can look it up.
The brand and how it works. I wonder if you can set the levels.
Yeah.
You know, can you set it for 4 inches for St. Augustine? Next week.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
Thank you, Meg.
Thank you, Mike. You're always so informative and wonderful. Mother's Day this weekend, so happy Mother's Day to all
Happy Mother's Day.